Hello and welcome to Open Room Talks, a podcast which draws on open room events experience in connecting people to bring you quality discussions between industry experts, innovative suppliers, and high-powered end users on pertinent issues in a variety of sectors. I am Kiana Sapp, and today we are in the world of veterinary. Joining me for our 11th episode, I have Matt Dobbs and David Tinsley. Matt qualified as a vet from Royal Dick in Edinburgh in 1997. After a couple of years in mixed practice in Dorset, he took a role as visiting registrar at the University of Sydney. In 2000, Matt returned to the UK to take the role as lecturer at the Royal Veterinary College, running the Farm Animal Teaching Unit. In 2001, he was awarded a Nuffield Scholarship to look at future models for veterinary practice and spent the year working at UC Davis, Colorado State University, and Cornell University. In 2004, after completing the RCVS Certificate in Cattle Health and Production, Matt left the Royal Veterinary College to set up West Point Vets, a specialist farm animal practice group. As CEO, Matt grew the business through acquisition and organic growth to become the UK's leading mixed vet group. In late 2015, he led the split of West Point, creating Vet Partners with a companion focus and Origin with a farm focus, remaining with the Origin group to create a unique production animal group. The group continued to grow, and in 2018, Origin was acquired by Vet Partners. Matt joined the Vet Partners Farm Board. Matt currently undertakes a number of roles. Alongside providing consultancy to Vet Partners, Matt is a trustee of the Animal Welfare Foundation, co-chair of the MWI Clinical Advisory Board, the digital practice lead for Stonehaven Consultancy, on the board of AgriEP, chair of the DEFRA-funded Bovine TB Advisory Service, on the board of Hectare, on the board of AgSense, on the board of two vet tech businesses, VetU and Vet Pursuits, CEO of Farm Law and Pet Law, but his main role is on the board as Chief Medical Officer for Destination Pet, a new global pet healthcare business based in Denver, Colorado. David followed university with a career in finance and qualified as a chartered accountant. Having left practice, David started in industry, firstly within motor retail and then in consumer electronics with Sony. David then made the move into distribution and logistics, starting with DHL. He spent the first few years at DHL in global roles, getting to travel the world, working in different regions and cultures. David also spent some time in Belgium, which included moving his family to live near Brussels for 2 years. After leaving DHL, David became the finance director of healthcare logistics company Movianto, before becoming the managing director, having responsibility for the UK and Ireland. Since July 2019, David has been the managing director of MWI Animal Health. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Good afternoon, and thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely, thank you.
So I know that you'd like to discuss together what the future model of animal health delivery might look like. But before getting into that, I think it'd be useful for our listeners to hear a little about how the two of you know each other. Where did you meet, and what were some projects that you've worked on together?
Okay, yeah, so I'll start. And so David and I don't have a particularly long relationship and have known each other for the last couple of years. But really intriguing that we've both come to animal health and a changing animal health landscape, both having had different journeys. As was quite evident from you reading out my current list of obligations, I'm somebody that doesn't like to say no to anything, and given an opportunity to get involved in something that's a little new, a bit novel and a bit disruptive is something that is important to me and what drives me personally. And so I've known David for a couple of years since starting to do a little bit of work alongside MWI, who as a and I can say this probably more easily than David can, as sort of the foremost veterinary supply business now globally. They were a company that I had some admiration for in terms of their innovative approach to animal health. And we've started to strike up a relationship and most notably have worked on a project around a new service offering from MWI called Distinct Advantage, of which I co-chair the clinical board, which helps advise MWI on taking that program forwards. So maybe that's a good opportunity for David to explain a bit about how we came together over Distinct Advantage.
No, thanks, Matt. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the attraction for MWI and for me personally in working with someone like Matt is that, you know, we don't want to in our business, except the status quo. We want to challenge, you know, the way that the market operates. We want to challenge the way that we interact with the market, and particularly with our customers. And as Matt says, you know, we're really focused on innovation and how we can improve the service that we provide for our customers. But ultimately, you know, I think we're both in the business of trying to improve patient outcomes. I like the fact that Matt talks about disruption, and I think that's one of the things that is attractive about working with Matt. That we really want to challenge the way things are today, and I think you can see that throughout Matt's career and the projects that Matt's been involved in, and that's where we see the future of MWI, less in terms of just being seen as a simple distributor of product, and more as being seen as a really innovative health services company that really focuses on connecting technology. And a distinct advantage is a good example of that. But, you know, that's where we've looked at the way the market works traditionally within the buying groups, and we have very, very successful buying groups. But we wanted to do more, and we wanted to add a nuance to the way that the buying groups have traditionally worked. And distinct advantage gives us a product and a service that is really innovative, and that is that, you know, we want to be able to offer the independent practices the same sort of quality service, but also commercial advantages that the corporate practices and groups automatically get because of their buying power. And so the idea of distinct advantage is that we have a service where we limit and we provide a formula of products that limit the selection and the choice of products. And by doing that, we start to consolidate volume, which enables us to get better pricing from manufacturers and give that benefit back to our members. There is still choice in there, so we try not to limit our customers to a single product, but we do, you know, remove the vast array of choice that exists today within independent practices. And then where Matt supports that product is that we have an independent clinical board. So rather than MWI making a decision on what products are on the formulary or not, that's actually provided by the independent clinical board. So MWI will go to the board and ask for them to look at a particular range of products within a particular grouping in terms of treatment. And then the clinical board will actually go through the respective merits of all the products that are available within the market, and then make a recommendation back to Distinct Advantage in terms of what products we should include on the formulary. And that's not necessarily driven by price. Price is an element, but the clinical benefit of the product is really the driving force. And that's why it's really important that we've got some really expert clinical advice supporting that product. And it's really important that that's independent from MWI.
And I think David made a great point there right at the start, which sort of underpins what MWI is about, and probably what David is personally about, and certainly myself as a veterinary surgeon about, is ultimately this is about providing the best possible care for the animals that are looked after by the veterinarians and all the support staff that go as part of that profession. So, you know, the animals under our care, the animal owners, and anybody else that is a stakeholder in that is really, really important to us. And without that, you know, neither of us have a job or a role or a business. So while I know we're going to go on to talk about some more of the business aspects, it's vital that people understand that that's really ultimately what drives us, is that ultimate care for the animal. And where it comes into some of the benefits that Distinct Advantage have certainly brought is around that clinical governance. You know, clinical governance may be a topic that people have heard about when they've heard about Care and Quality Commission or NHS. And effectively what clinical governance is about, maybe advisory is a softer word to use, is about delivering the very best standard of medicine that's possible. And the first rule of clinical governance is to make sure that you have a population to be able to advise or govern. And if you've outpriced yourself from healthcare delivery, if it's too costly for a pet owner to access medicines or for a farmer to be able to access veterinary care, then you don't have very good clinical governance at the outset. So price is really important. And I know sometimes that's a difficult quandary for vets and people in the caring industry to talk about. But it is really important that we get the right value associated with the delivery of medicine for it to be sustainable going forward.
Matt, you touch on an interesting point there around having, you know, a purpose in our businesses in terms of putting the animal first. And that, you know, I think that's absolutely true, you know, for both of us. But it's an interesting tension in business between, you know, putting the animal first and running a successful business. And I've seen, you know, in my own business when I joined, you know, that sometimes unhealthy tension. And actually, I don't see the tension myself. You know, I think for me, it's really simple. You know, it's not, you know, outrageous for businesses within healthcare to make a profit. And actually, I would advocate it's really important because we use the profits to reinvest in our business, which provides a better service and a better solution, which ultimately benefits the animal. And that's where sometimes I think people struggle to understand the commerciality of a business that works within healthcare, whether that's animal or human, and the, you know, the capitalist nature of any business that it strives for profitability. But if I can talk about my own business, you know, next year we're going to be investing millions of dollars in trying to improve all of the services that we provide, and that's all driven by the purpose of trying to improve lives for animals, and that's why, although profit can be a dirty word, I'm fairly open about the fact that it's really important for our business to be profitable, to enable us to reinvest and improve and get better.
And I completely concur. As somebody that has owned and operated businesses previously, they deliver a huge amount of benefit ultimately to the animals under our care. And it's the area, I guess, that intrigued me as a new graduate coming out of veterinary school to a profession back in the mid-90s that seemed to be approaching a change around the structure of business, which was then driven by legislative changes around who could own a veterinary practice. And it was further compounded by the changes around veterinary pharmacy when the Competition Commission announced that there was a complex monopoly going on between the animal health industry and veterinary surgeons to collude to keep the price of medicine high. Because it's important for society that the competition does exist in veterinary medicine, because we want to make sure that care for our animals isn't priced out of the market and people have readable access to veterinary care and to veterinary medicine. So the model of veterinary medicine has always really intrigued me, and I'm particularly intrigued at this time in the post-COVID release from lockdown as to whether that global pandemic is going to have any significant change in terms of the type of model delivery for animal care in the UK, whether that's pet care or whether that's going to be production animal-based. And I think we're in an interesting time as we see a relative level of corporatization now, certainly in the UK, maybe reaching close to what might be seen as a sustainable peak, and therefore the opportunity maybe for new business models to run alongside the efficiencies that some of the corporate veterinary groups would also try to look at in this new world. So it's an exciting time, I think, for veterinary models and for anybody that's involved in the veterinary industry. And I'm really interested to know where MWI can see the future. Clearly, with developing a system like Distinct Advantage, it's important to support a full breadth of customer from the large corporate right the way down to the independent. But whether that same change is going to happen right across the world and across Europe, I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts, David.
Yeah, I mean, I think societal change is going to drive change in the market. And I think, you know, it's beholden on all of us to take the opportunity to look at the way that we operate and see if there is a better way of working. So, you know, I think the next phase for the existing corporates is now absolutely around professionalisation and standardisation and driving efficiency through the acquired disparate groups that have come together to form the corporates that we see today. And I think, you know, a lot of that is going to be through technology. I think the corporates have struggled through these really dynamic times to get visibility in terms of what's going on in the market on a day-to-day basis. You know, as we saw huge volume spikes at the start of COVID as practices were stockpiling, and then we saw volumes drop dramatically as practices started to close and staff were furloughed, and the visibility at an enterprise level within the corporates was seen to be sadly lacking, and that's predominantly driven by the fact that there's a vast array of technology deployed within the corporate groups that's grown through acquisition and is not necessarily connected or integrated to give enterprise level visibility in real time to inform the corporate groups what's going on at the coalface on a day-to-day or even hour-by-hour basis that allows them to make corporate-level decisions on how they're going to adapt and change to the market dynamics. So I think, you know, technology, but particularly cloud-based technology that allows enterprise-level consolidation and visibility is going to be first and foremost on the minds of the corporate groups as they start to use technology to professionalise their businesses. And then for companies like MWI, it's important that we take some of the things that we are seeing at a corporate level and we offer that to the independent practices. It's important as a company, and we're absolutely clear on this, that all of our customers are equal. And I think we've demonstrated that really clearly through COVID, that we treated all of our customers the same through that really dynamic period at the start of COVID. We did not prioritise our bigger customers over our smaller customers. We offered the same service to every customer, and I think, you know, that's the really important for us, you know, important point for us going forward. I think we've shown that through Distinct Advantage, our commitment to offer the sort of corporate level benefits to small independent practices, and we want to drive that through technology going forward and offering that same connectivity and integration and importantly efficiency through the way that the practices work using our technology. And then, you know, to your point, Matt, around, you know, growing out now into Europe, that we start to look at, you know, how we can support our existing corporate customers and hopefully some new corporate customers as they start to grow and acquire outside of the UK. Yeah, I think there are huge benefits for our customers in having a sole supplier. And that's something that we really aspire to do, where we've got corporate customers that have presence in more than one geography, that they can have a single partner in MWI, not only on the distribution side, but also on the technology side. And that benefit of having deep integration with a sole global supplier, I think is going to be really powerful going forward in terms of efficiency, but also in terms of visibility to make really good decisions about where businesses are going to go in the future.
I completely agree. And I would extend it even further, that the fact that technology now, as well as supporting some of those efficiencies that will be gained by some of the larger corporate veterinary groups, is also making the startups and the greenfield approach to new practice much more accessible. A whole plethora of new technologies around helping veterinarians communicate better with animal keepers, the whole area around technology and wellness, you know, even technologies that are looking at things like financial services and insurance, driving loyalty, new technologies around hardware with, you know, a plethora of new wearable technologies likely to enter the market in the coming years. That's even before we mention things like telehealth, which has seen a dramatic growth over the last few months during pandemic lockdown. I think all of those technologies give us some great opportunity for both the larger corporates, but also independents and new startups to be able to get a foothold and to deliver some great services to pet owners and to livestock keepers. So yeah, it's definitely an exciting time. I guess one particular challenge, and I'd be interested on your opinions, David, is around the vast amounts of data that we then collect, and whether there's an opportunity to make sure that we can make that available or integrate it in some way so that it really can benefit the animal and the veterinarian in the service that they deliver. And I don't know whether MWI are working on looking at data sets and practice management systems as part of that approach.
Yeah, I mean, I think the future for us, Matt, is being able to bring technology together. You know, so PMS is a really important part of the technology that veterinarians will use today within the four walls of the practice. But it really is, you know, within the four walls of the practice. And the ability to start to lift technology outside of the four walls is really the future. And that's where we see technology going. And that's where we're investing as a business. What we envisage in the future is that MWI will provide a platform that will allow different applications across the market to sit on a common platform and interact with each other. And that's much bigger than what we would think of as a PMS today. And that could link right the way from manufacturer in terms of understanding where product is in the supply chain, even, you know, potentially as it's being manufactured, all the way down to your point, Matt, with wearable technology to the actual animal and linking all the way in between. And really importantly, that is to use data really to understand, you know, how the products are being used and how successful the products are in treating animals and trying to drive the improvement in that. But it really is to give access to the veterinarian to far more data and information than they see today to enable them to run their businesses more successfully but more efficiently. And that could be in terms of the visibility of where product is, so they can make informed decisions about what products they use. But really the other way, going down to the animal, and as we start to see the wearable technology evolve from what is today really a B2C product in terms of understanding, you know, how many steps the animal take or how active the animal is, more into a B2B wearable technology where we can actually see the quality of the animal's movement and we can actually start to see ahead of an issue becoming known to the animal owner that the animal might have a problem, and for the veterinarian to be able to be proactive in encouraging that animal to come in and to undertake treatment. And then once that treatment's taken place, the veterinarian gets visibility of how the animal's performing after it's left the direct care of being within the four walls of the practice. So it's really lifting that technology out of the four walls of the practice and going up to manufacturer in terms of products and going down to the actual animal itself and being able to read and see data, not only in the quantity of movement for the animal, which is important, but I think more important is the quality of movement of the animal.
And I agree. I see this as you pointed out, technology giving veterinarians the opportunity to reach further with their existing client to allow them better quality interactions when they touch the animal and extending the services that they can offer afterwards. So technology really doing a reach, touch, extend. I guess the one area I wanted to also talk about is business models that still rely on the animal being physically touched by the veterinarian or some sort of direct contact being required. And one of the exciting models I can certainly see going forwards is the rise in other associated pet care services. So we've seen in the UK in recent years and globally a growth in dog grooming, in dog daycare, you know, boarding, and a plethora of other pet care support services, such as, you know, dog walking. And I think there's some great opportunities to see how those interactions, which will always require some human-animal interface to be linked to healthcare. To your point, David, they're a great opportunity, whether using technology or not, for that animal's health to be assessed and analysed, and for that to be built into the totality of how we care for our, particularly for our pets, but the same applies for similar and applicable systems in agriculture as well. So it's an exciting time for me to look at how technology is certainly going to change the way that we deliver veterinary medicine, but there still is going to be that integral component where the veterinarian and or other animal health professional is going to need that direct contact with the animal. And that's why I'm excited to be working with Destination Pet, for which I'm the chief medical officer, currently based in the US, but looking at how we can expand our service-based offering into Europe, which does exactly that. We look at how daycare, grooming, and boarding really are great touch points that could be associated with great veterinary care, and an exciting opportunity for the future.
And Matt, you know, I don't see that changing. And actually, you know, I think we want to encourage that. You know, as a business, we want to support continuing to get animals, you know, into practice and being seen by veterinarians. And I don't think, you know, there's any technology that's gonna take that away in the short term. You know, in terms of physically examining an animal, I think what we are about is trying to make practices as efficient as possible through the use of technology to actually give veterinarians more time to spend time with animals rather than dealing with all the administration that goes with running practices. That's what our technology is designed to enable. But you know, in terms of what Destination Pet are trying to do to make the visit more valuable for the owner, that there are more value-added services that they can access during the visit, and the, you know, the health and the welfare and the well-being of the animal is enhanced with a visit to the vet. You know, I think, you know, can only be encouraged. You know, and I find it really, really exciting that even in a market that's seen a lot of innovation, we still find new ways to look at things where we think, you know, there is only one solution, and we find new ways to look at it and say, actually, yeah, perhaps there's a different solution here and we could do things differently. I find that fascinating.
And that plays into my sort of parting comment, really, because I think animal healthcare is complex, and so therefore it can only be delivered where there's great partnerships right the way through the chain of supply, either of product or services. And so, you know, I'm as an individual and working with Destination Pet, I'm really pleased that we're working with MWI both in the US and in Europe, and partnerships are going to be what animal health is founded on in coming years. So it's exciting time, plenty of changes ahead, but thank you for working with us, David, and we look forward to what the future brings.
No, we really enjoy working with you, Matt, and you know, I think partnership is the only way to go, you know, in the future for us to really understand, you know, what's driving your business, what your strategy is, and where you're going to be in 5-10 years. And ensuring that we invest in our business to be in a place to be able to support your business and make you successful in the future. That, you know, that is partnership, where we both understand not only our businesses today, but we understand where our businesses might be in the future. And that's where we can really unlock value by investing the time now to really understand each other's strategy, values, principles, purposes, and then we can both co-invest in the future. And I think, you know, we've seen that with Destination. You're making, you know, good decisions today on things like technology that are going to unlock value in the future. And you know, that's a really refreshing approach.
Matt, David, thank you so much for that discussion. It's a good, wholesome note to end on there. But before you go, as is tradition on this show, I have a couple of quickfire questions that we ask all of our guests. The first one is, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received? Matt, maybe we can start with you.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to have my veterinary education in Edinburgh, and I can remember a very wily old professor telling me once when I'd failed yet another exam. I eventually got there passing. he said, animal keepers don't care what you know as long as they know what you care. And so care for the animal under your care and the client, and care in your relationships, business relationships, I've always therefore taken dearly. In terms of books, please don't judge me anyway. You've had 30 minutes to try and judge me anyway. But my favourite is definitely The Prince, that Machiavellian masterpiece.
You'll receive no judgment from me on Machiavelli. I consider him a completely misunderstood thinker who says a lot of truths about human interactions and relationships. So no judgment at all here. David, what have you got for us in terms of advice and a book recommendation?
Well, my father always used to say to me, David, never drink anything you can't see through, which I think is great advice. But from a business perspective, you know, I am all about, you know, trying to keep things simple and trying to keep business simple. And some simple advice I was given is the purpose of any business is to acquire a customer and retain a customer. And I think if you distill everything back down to, you know, that's the purpose of business, then you'll do pretty well. But, you know, making sure we keep the customer front and center in everything we do. And in terms of the book, my favorite book is Bonfire of the Vanities by Tom Wolfe, which is a great read.
Brilliant. Well, thank you once again to both of you. Plenty in there for our listeners to think about. So have yourselves a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Open Room Talks. We hope that you've enjoyed the episode. For inquiries, please feel free to get in touch via email on hello@openroomevents.com. For details on future episodes, please follow us on LinkedIn or visit openroomevents.com. Until next time.